Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Fanboy Comics Podcast. Of course, I'm your host, Clay, and today we're going to be talking about Black Clover Volume 2, something that, oh my gosh, that is my alarm. That is so embarrassing. Never happened before. I apologize for that. Anyway, let me go ahead and cancel all those because I tried to wake up early today. Anyway, like I said, we are going to be talking about Black Clover Volume 2. This is something that I have really, really been enjoying. I know we've only done one review on this, but it's still such a really good manga, just because there's a lot of tropes that I really enjoy in this manga. You know, I told Jake when we were reviewing Volume 1 that Asta is very much a Naruto character. There is very much a Goku character here in this volume that we will get to, which is probably one of my favorite parts. And I just love everybody else. So let's go ahead and jump into it. Like I said, thank you. Well, like I said yesterday, thank you so much for choosing this podcast to listen to. And of course, if you haven't already, please press the subscribe button and share it with all of your manga and anime friends. Now, let's go ahead and jump right into Black Clover Volume 2. Alright, so just like our other volume reviews, this is going to be short, sweet, and to the point. Just hitting the high points in here. I may elaborate some on some of my favorite parts, but other than that, we're just going to go straight through chapter... it's Volume 2, so the chapters for Volume 2, if you're just reading the chapters, not the actual volume, is Chapter 8 through Chapter 16. Now, on here in Chapter 8, we are continuing the fight with Heath. Of course, Asta, we start off with Asta hitting him with his sword. And Heath was able to create ice on the ground in order to kill Asta's momentum, so it really didn't do much to him. And with this, Heath had the opportunity to hit Asta over and over and over again, just for the fact that Asta is not giving up. And that's something that I wrote down here, is that Asta will never give up on the little person, meaning those who cannot defend themselves. So again, we have that trope of like what makes a great hero in all these animes and mangas that you watch, and just like when he's yelling, "I'm not done yet," it just screams. It screams Naruto. Whenever he had, you know, just that, I almost said angst, but it's not really angst. It's just the drive to save people and to look out for, you know, somebody who can't defend themselves. And because Asta felt that. Asta very much felt that when he was little. And he probably never wanted to feel that way again. And that's why he always trained so hard. Even, you know, because the big thing is that he doesn't have magic. And through this whole aspect of, you know, because he says verbatim, it says, "If I give up, who's going to protect them? I realized, you see, this isn't just to keep a promise. I'm going to become the Wizard King in order to protect everyone." This inspires Magna, and so he uses the baptism, quote-unquote, from the first volume to team up with Asta in order to, you know, take down Heath and his, you know, cult-esque goons or whatever. And even Noelle is able to control her magic just for a bit to save Magna, which I think is really, really cool. Now, this is when Asta says, "I am not done yet," for one last time, and is able to take out Heath. Now, in Chapter 9, Heath has a master. You know, in the very first pages, it says, I wanted to be of more use to the master. And so I'm like, oh, shit. He is not like the cult leader in this aspect. So, very, very interesting. Now, excuse me. I feel like I'm needing to cough. But one of these goons is able to make it out and get away. but Asta, basically, he's done for. He is out cold. You know, he pretty much relinquished every bit of energy that he had, and he plops down on the ground and literally falls asleep. Now, the one weird thing here is that a black bird just comes out of his coat, flies up into the air, goes into a random building, grabs a stone, and starts knocking Asta's head with it, and Asta wakes up. And we learn this is an anti-bird. You know, from the very first volume, we learn some of those birds have the ability, or they're known to nag on people with you know, little to no magical abilities. And so it's just weird that he has basically squatted in Asta's cloak for like this long, you know? So, and Noelle loves it. Noelle was like, oh my gosh, look at that little bird. It's great. It's adorable. But, you know, they're questioning Heath and all of his goons, but they use magic to self-destruct. Excuse me. So they are now dead. So very, very interesting that they would commit suicide. But it quickly goes to who I assume is his leader, his master. And there is a symbol on the cloak of this individual. So that is very, very important. I wrote some notes down. But at the end of this chapter, one of the most important things is that there's this child from the village that they just saved, and he's at the grave of his grandfather, and his grandfather had little magical abilities who tried to defend Heath. And, you know, this kid, he tells Asta that he wants, like, he doesn't have any magic, but he wants to become a magic knight. And Asta's like, go for it, bud. Like, do it. That's awesome. He says, because the little kid says, I'm a peasant, but do you think I could get into the magic knights? And that's when Asta says, sure you can. I'm a peasant, and I don't have any magic, and I got in. You're going to have to work your butt off, because by the time you get into the magic knights, I'll be working even harder, doing even more, and getting closer to becoming the Wizard King. I'll be waiting for you, kid. And that is just awesome. That is absolutely awesome. You know, this is where, like, you don't see too many people in, and this might just be because of the mangas that I'm reading currently. And, you know, my past experience with anime in general, you never really see too many people encouraging others to fight the big fight, you know? I would say Asta and Naruto are basically the only two. But if there is more, please let me know, because I love when a character does that, is inspiring others to do greatness, you know? But in Chapter 10, now, Chapter 10, we start to learn a little bit more about what happens after a Magic Knight mission. Now, of course, the leader is, oh man, what was his name again? I forgot his name. No. Hold on. I have the notes from last week, so I can look it up. It shouldn't be a problem. All right. So, oh gosh, hold on. That's embarrassing. Guys, I don't know if I have the notes. For real? Wait, I think I had them before. I am just stalling. Hold on. Yeah, here they are. His name is Yami. Okay, yeah. So Yami explains to Noelle and Asta that after a mission, not after every mission, but sometimes after missions, the Wizard King will award individuals with a star. And we hear from Vanessa, she says, The nine magic knight groups compete to see how many stars they can collect. It's an honor thing. The Golden Dawn's at the top right now. They've got 70. And Yami puts the star, you know, where it needs to be or whatever, and he says, great, that makes for a nice, neat minus 30. So you can kind of tell what kind of magic group that they are. Asta's just like, wait, what? But really cool thing that Yami actually gives Asta his wages for this month. And Asta's like, holy crap, it's money. And then, of course, Noelle, being royalty, she's like, oh, this is so little. And Asta's like, are you freaking kidding me? I can buy like this many freaking potatoes at my village. And they're like, okay. And it's so funny because it's like 2,000. So to him, of course, because he was considered a peasant at one point, money is money and it's great. And I love this panel of Vanessa. She's like, all right, you got money. That means you're probably going to want to go shopping. So we are introduced to the castle town. And it looks great. It absolutely looks great. We see Vanessa in her, like, her witch hat. I love her witch hat. It looks amazing. But we get to see, like, a little bit of the commoners. And Vanessa talks about how this castle, it says, Kika is a castle town in the upper center of the common realm. Most people who come here are commoners from the common realm. Nobles visit once in a while. Peasants visit even less. Now, if you look at the map at the very top, think of a circular kind of like layers. So the very middle is the noble realm. You go into the outer layer of that. That is the common realm, with Kika being the town that they're in. And then outside of that is the Forsaken realm. So I'm wanting to learn a little bit more about this world. So I'm glad that they made a map of it. But, you know, all over the place, you know, Vanessa is telling them, oh, you know, you can buy fruits. You can, you know, buy magical items, all of this stuff. And freaking Asta's just like, oh man, I can't wait to bring everybody from the village here. That would be so great. And not Vanessa, but Noelle and Asta are starting to realize that a lot of people are like paying attention to them. And Vanessa's like, nah, don't worry about them. You know, it's just our presence kind of worries criminals. And, you know, it's not every day that everybody gets to see, you know, some knights. So I thought that was very cool. Vanessa actually shows them the black market, which is very, very interesting. And she tells Noelle, like, hey, I understand that you can't control your magic. Well, there's some items here that specifically, what they do is that they, like, it says here, they've got items to repress magic here, too. If you find an item that's suited to you and adjust your magic, you might be able to control it. So, even though it's not necessarily asking her, hey, you know, just cut off your magic completely. It's like, okay, well, you can adjust your magical ability to the repressed item and then go from there to the point, you know, and just adjust your magic accordingly every single time you use it. And eventually you'll learn how to control it, which I think is really, really cool. Now, there is gambling in the black market. And this is where we see Seke. Of course, Seke is the jerk that that tried to beat Asta in the exams and got his ass whooped. But and he sees Noelle and Vanessa, and he quickly like goes over to them, and is just that douchebag kind of guy. He's like, "Hey, ladies, what are you two doing here? This is a dangerous place." Blah 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 blah. But Asta comes out of nowhere. He's like, hey, look, this is what I bought. And Noah's like, oh, you're an idiot. And that's when Seke's like, oh my god, these two, you know, hot women are with that guy. Are you freaking kidding me? And out of nowhere, this dude steals from this old lady. And Asta's immediately on the move. He's like, I'm going to catch him. And Seke is like, oh no, 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 no. I need to show off, you know, in front of these two ladies. And he creates a motorcycle or scooter or whatever out of his, it's a bronze creation magic Seke shooting star. Because he wants to move faster than Asta, who is just running. And so Asta pulls out his sword and he cuts the dude's magic because this guy, the one who stole all this money or whatever, is like on wind magic. So he cuts the magic, but Seke immediately runs the guy over. So it literally looks like Seke is the one that took him down. But this guy stabs Seke in the foot with a magic item, paralyzes him. And this is where it gets really funny. And the reason why I'm going through this one is just because this is probably one of my favorites, just because of how stupid it is. Seke, like, immediately starts to get paralyzed, and he's like, I hate you, but please, just, he says, you're the guy who took me down. You get to the top for me, too. I'm entrusting you to my dream. And, you know, just being super dramatic at the fact that he can't move. As to not reading the situation, not really sure what the fuck's going on, he's like, no, you live, damn it. You're going to make your dream come true yourself. And just like, they're literally just two idiots not understanding what's going on. And Vanessa comes around, he's like, and she's just said, this is, you know, just a temporary paralyzing spell. You're going to be fine. She uses some ointment or whatever. And then Seke's like, completely funny, gets up. He's like, all right, you idiots. Asta, you know, you're a moron. See you later. And Asta's able to give this older woman, you know, all of her cash that she won gambling or whatever. And so they go on their way, but it kind of stays on this woman for a little bit. And she starts to, like, deteriorate, and something goes away, and you learn that it was a disguise, and the person that was disguised as an old woman was the freaking Wizard King. And I'm like, what is going on here? So I am very much reminded, just because recently I finished the entire series of Avatar The Last Airbender, the Wizard King reminds me very much of the Earth King, not necessarily Ba Sing Se, and it's not necessarily because he's like an idiot, but it's just like because he's so happy-go-lucky, he's like, oh yeah, da-da-da-da. But also, you know, all of his guards are like, what are you doing? Like, you're the Wizard King, what are you, like, we need to protect you, blah blah blah. And he's kind of a person that kind of just, like, I guess goes with the flow, which I think is really, really funny. But in chapter 11, we are introduced to dungeons, which I think is really, really cool. So we learn that there is a new dungeon that has just been found, and it is up to the magical knights to search these dungeons for dangerous magical relics and all of these different things. And we learn that Luck is going to be escorting Noelle and Asta through this dungeon. And, you know, they get the rundown on what dungeons are. Vanessa, Yami, Magna, they all tell them, you know, hey, this is what a dungeon is, basically. But Yami tells Asta that he is specifically chosen by the Wizard King to check out this dungeon. So whatever, you know, everything that happened in the prior chapter, in chapter 10, the Wizard King was very impressed. So he wanted to see what he was really capable of, and so they are going on this journey. And it's really funny because Vanessa and Yami are talking kind of afterward while these guys are in the dungeon. And they're talking about Luck's character. And he says, Yami says, the guy's detecting mana, the guy's ability for detecting mana is off the charts. If his personality wasn't completely busted, all of the night squads would have been fighting for him. And I'm like, huh. So what's wrong with his personality? Because he looks like a really happy-go-lucky guy. And we see Asta accidentally triggers a trap. And he saves himself by cutting it with a sword. And Luck literally pushes Asta into another trap. Asta's like having to cut, you know, that one as well with his negating sword. And Luck just starts jumping on all the traps because he could detect the magic. And so he's jumping on all of them. And he's like, oh man, this is great. And so now you learn, holy shit, Luck is fucking insane. This is the my brain can't compute with this situation. Because when I was talking to Jake in Volume 1, I said, oh, I think I'm going to like Luck because he is so enthusiastic about being the hero. No. No, not at all. No. He's insane. He's absolutely insane. And, you know, it shows this weird, like, the way wizards can tell, or whenever they can see magic, it's weird because he sees it in, like, an electrical type. Like, it's really weird to explain. So, he's just standing there, and it looks like all of these things of electricity are going to him, or lightning. And I guess that's how he detects magic. Because he says, oh, I knew it. There are others here. The strongest looking one is... And then he just, like, freaking bolts it. He creates a lightning boots and he just runs away. And so Noelle and Asta are there by themselves. And they get captured by plants. Which is absolutely insane. But the, you know, before Asta can cut this giant plant, they are saved by wind blades. And you're like, huh, what is that? And we jump back to Yami and Magna, and you learn that the Golden Dawn Magical Knights squad is going to be in the cave as well. Now, this is where it gets very, very important. Because when Asta looks up to see who just saved him, he sees a symbol. A symbol that we had seen in Chapter 9 for Heath's master. We see the Golden Dawn a logo symbol. And I immediately was like, oh, that symbol. Oh my gosh. The person that ordered freaking Heath to do whatever he was doing in that village is in the Golden Dawn squad. And so, like, my tinfoil hat is, like, straight up just in there. So, we see that it is Yuno that saved Asta. And in Chapter 12, the Golden Dawn leader, we get a small glimpse of him in the very beginning. I do not like him. I don't like him. He's very ominous. But we learn... we go back to the dungeon. And Noelle's cousin is there. Her name is Mimosa Vermilion. The leader of this group, this small three-person group, is the Golden Dawn member, Claws. His magic is dealt with steel. Mimosa's is like, she's a healer, but she deals with plants. And of course, there's Yuno, who of course is the wind magic user. And they're kind of just like, oh, well, we're going to get to the treasure first. So no, we're going to get to the treasure first, blah, blah, blah. And so they go on to their separate ways, basically. And Asta wants to make it like a race. He's like, oh, okay, well, you know, we'll see who gets to the treasure hall first. And him and Noelle are just like going through these halls, busting up every trap, and he's like, where are we gonna go? We are running into all these traps. And Nero is what they ended up giving the name of the anti-bird. He is pointing to like a way, like, hey, we should go this way. And so we hear from Claus with Yuno, and he's just like, I hate, you know, that Asta guy, basically. And of course he is a noble, so he thinks everybody else is below him. And so Yuno is like, don't underestimate him. He you know, he's not somebody to be trifled with. And so we learn that not only are these guys going to be in the dungeon, but somebody from the Diamond Kingdom is going to be there as well. So the Magic Knights that we have all seen thus far is from the Clover Kingdom. This dungeon is basically right on the border of the Clover and Diamond Kingdoms. And Lotus is the person that is leading this group that will be in this dungeon. And that is who Luck has run into. He took down all the goons, and Lotus is just right there. And he's like, oh, you're pretty impressive. Okay, you know, let's see how this goes. Now, chapters 13 through 16 are basically just a giant fight. But there's really important details of this fight. Luck is basically Goku, but in a very creepy, scary way. He has this mentality of like, oh, I just want to fight strong people. And so that was very much like, that's very much a Goku thing. Because he says in one panel, he says, as long as I get to fight tough guys, I'm good. And that's something Goku would immediately say. But Lotus, he is a smoke magic user, and he has, you know, ended up... Is this where you find out that he... Let's see here. Yeah, he ends up, like, using his magic as a poison to kind of disorient Luck. But throughout this, we see that Asta and Noelle are still having trouble finding the way to the magic hall. And we see that while Asta is... not Asta, sorry. While Luck is still struggling, he's able to kind of keep it together. But the third, or the group with Yuno, Mimosa, and Claus, they've made it to the magical hall, I believe. There's a giant door, but they get attacked by like what looks like ice. Mimosa gets attacked, and so they're like immediately starting to like get into the defense positions. And there's this random dude with a cloak, and it has looks like he has like a jewel on his forehead, but this is a friend of Lotus, because that's what he mentions. And here, Luck, you know, he's like, Luck basically needs to win. That's the mentality that he has, and so he. It's really weird. I'd never really noticed this until this chapter, but Luck, like, always has a look of excitement or joy on his face, so he's always smiling. And in chapter 14, that we learn a little bit about that. We learn about his past and about how his mother was somewhat abusive and had a problem with him always being like always joyful. But you could quickly tell because of the abuse that he uses his smile to hide things. And, you know, we see him in his exams. We see him really keeping Lotus on his toes. But we learn how proud his mother was with him becoming a magical knight. But at the same time, we also learn at the very end of the book, I believe. Yeah, we learn at the very end of the book of this chapter that... Wait, hold on. I may be getting a little ahead of myself. Just want to double check here. So yeah, before we learn that us, you know, he's keeping Lotus on his tail, and Lotus actually makes a physical type of smoke to like really hold him and kind of suffocate him, while this other guy with a jewel on his forehead is fighting Claws and Yuno. So Claws quickly recognizes the crest on the guy's right, is it here? Oh, the crest, yeah, the crest on his cloak. It says that crest, the Diamond Kingdom, he's one of the invaded mages. So he's quickly trying to defend Mimosa, who is trying to heal herself. Asta and Noelle are getting the feeling that they're getting closer to the magical hall. But Noelle is quickly able to recognize some sort of mana, whether it be luck or, you know, we don't know yet. So you know, basically tells... Claws tells Yuno, hey, you go to the treasure. You know, our mission is first. I'll hold this guy back. And we see that both Asta and Yuno are saving their fellow squad members. And Yuno's kind of pissed. And Luck is like, what are you doing here? And they both are like, you are my friend. And it's really cool because we see a flashback of Yuno and Asta, and it says here, you know, we're family, right? And he's like, that's right. But we're not blood relatives. He's like, yeah. We're more connected than people who are, though, right? And he's like, yeah. We're where is this coming from? And he says, well, see, we don't have any blood relatives, so let's take care of the friends we're going to meet like their family. And so we learn that because, like, I think that's the most humbling thing ever, is that these peasants have now grown to the point where they're just like, you know what? We have to appreciate everything that we're getting when we get older, because, you know, we don't have much. And so I really do love that. Chapter 15 here, this is where we learn that Luck's mother had died, and he wanted to keep smiling in order, he says here, I'll do this alone, if I don't, mom won't accept me, because she never accepted him as a person that is always smiling, that is always like the way he is. And so it was like just really, really sad that throughout this entire time, because you don't know how much time has passed, but you do know a significant time has passed. And so you're like, man, this entire time he's holding this smile to like live up to his dead mother, which is super sad. But he thinks that if his mother doesn't accept him, he'll be alone. And Asta's like, I'm not gonna abandon you, I'm not gonna let you fight alone. And this is where Luck realizes, okay, I don't have to do this alone. Again, Asta's there to inspire people, which I love. And so they start to fight together. And this is where Lotus does like this huge smoke trap. And we see in the other fight that Yuno is able to do multiple... what did I write down? I wrote down that he is doing... He activates multiple spells at once, which apparently is not something that anybody can do. So he does the Swift White Hawk along with the Windblade Shower. And he's able to attack this individual that we learn his name is Mars. But at the end here, it's really, really cool. So what they do, because Lotus will be able to detect magic in this giant thing of smoke and fog, what they end up doing is they throw, Luck is able to, shoot all these different things of lightning while Lotus is, dodging them. And then, Noelle repels Asta just into the angle that Lotus will be at, and he swings his sword, and it's really funny how they explain it. But Lotus is unable to detect freaking Asta because he has no magic, so he's quickly able to defeat him, and Mars was quickly able to defeat the magic of Yuno, so it looks very, very terrifying. And in chapter 16, Lotus is able to get away, and basically it ends with Asta saving Yuno, and Yuno's like, crap. Like, right when I thought that, I had repaid that favor. But the really cool thing, before Asta saves him, he's just like, blow after blow, like using magic on Mars. And he's getting this flashback of him and Asta sparring or whatever. And of course, even as kids, Asta didn't have any magical abilities. Yuno did. And I guess the whole premise of this sparring match is that Asta, coming close to hit Yuno. And eventually, through all pushing with the wind magic and everything, Asta finally gets to the point where he kind of just like bonks Yuno on the head, and he says, "See, as long as you don't give up, I get there. Or as long as I don't give up, I get there." And so that's what Yuno is doing. He's like, okay, I'm not going to give up. And so he's kind of like bracing for this attack that Mars is going to get him. And that's when that's when Asta saves him. And he's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, I was gonna totally, wait until like the last minute to do an attack. And Asta's like, no, you weren't, stop lying, blah, blah. And so again, they have that brotherly friendship, which I absolutely love. And it ends with, he's like, okay, fine. Let's see which one of us takes down him first. And so it's always like, it's literally a rivalry between him and Yuno, which I absolutely love. I love these two. And I can't wait to see how they grow throughout the series. But yeah, that is everything. I absolutely love this manga so far. I can't wait to see what happens to Mars, whether he is killed, whether he is interrogated, whether they learn more about the Diamond Kingdom, and I know I've been spoiled a little bit in the sense of like something takes over Asta eventually, because I've seen this like gif of him like with all these tattoos and stuff. Excuse me. So I want to know when we will get to there. But with that, guys, I want to thank you so much for listening. Of course, you know where to find me: Twitter, Instagram, and the fanboycomicspodcast@gmail.com. Send in any kind of show mail or whatnot. But with that, thank you so much, and we will see you guys tomorrow for My Hero Academia Vigilante.